This is a bonus episode. I'm Andrew, and I'm with you on the single most important day of the year. That's right. It's the commemoration of raw dogging a lady at some point in the past, Father's Day. And as the only currently present father of the podcast, I am sitting in my big throne wearing a crown that I got from a Burger King restaurant and spray-painted gold myself in the driveway at home, getting gold paint all over the driveway, but no one can be mad at me because it's Father's Day. And really, who would be cleaning the gold paint off the driveway anyway? Probably Dad.
Dads be pressure cleaning.
Mm-hmm. Lining up to present their half-hearted gifts to me are my beautiful friends here. Of course, Theo is not attending at the moment, the other certified father on the podcast, as he has been permitted license to game freely on this beautiful first Sunday in September.
That's what's beautiful about podcasting is that if at your normal job you said, hey, I really want to play Ace Combat 7, can I not come into work today? They'd probably say, that's not how that works. But with a podcast, you can say, yeah, bud, go shoot down some enemy.
Yeah, get it.
Some, I don't know the names of any planes.
I don't know what that game is. It sounds fun, though.
I'd like to know who the opposing force is in that game, whether it's like a made-up European country or whether they're just like China, you know? first in line, taking a single knee, head bowed, both arms outstretched and raised up. Cupped between them, I see a necklace made of string and the finest macaroni. Presenting this gift to me is my friend Ben. Hello, Ben.
Hey. I made this myself, and I made it for you, Papa.
And let me tell you, it looks great. I'm putting it on right now. It goes great with my crown.
Now, I just want to be clear that that is cooked macaroni.
So no one said not to cook
it. The shelf life on that is not great. You might want to wear it for a couple of days, but after that, it's going to get stanky.
It is. So am I correct in understanding that this is the Italian version of one of those candy necklaces?
Yeah.
Yes.
Just kidding. Yes.
Just have, stretching it out for a little snack throughout the day. You know, just a little treat. A little treat for you and me. If you do spend more money on them, you can get ones with sauce, but that's...
Yeah. You can get the Italian candy G-string.
Wearing your Posada bracelet. You're just like squeezing a little bit of passata out, dipping your macaroni necklace in there. Ooh.
Oh, God. I'm just imagining like, you know, those edible underwear that are basically just made out of like fruit roll-up type material. Yeah.
Like fruit roll-up edible underwear.
I was thinking of the candy
underwear.
Heart ones. What's the fruit roll-up type?
What the fuck are you talking about?
So like, I'm sure that we all at some point in our lives heard of like edible underwear, right?
Yes.
Mm.
And have you ever actually seen what edible underwear is?
I'm with Lucy on this one. I'm picturing where it's just got like candy
little
hearts
candy
and
hearts.
Shit on there.
I have seen ones where it is basically...
Oh, no.
Are you doing some Googling?
Like a fruit roll-up?
One of the most rank fucking images I've ever seen in my life.
Imagine peeling that off yourself and there's like pubes stuck to it.
Oh, you're gonna get thrashed, honey.
Just
but of
look
course,
at that. Look at that picture that I've just put in the chat.
Nope, no.
Oh yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, that's the like the surface of a toffee apple, but on two human asses.
Yeah, there's a man one and a woman one, so I like that. That's representation.
That's true. And once they make them for non-binary people, we'll finally have proper representation.
That's right.
Oh man, I am seeing some fucking. Mostly candy stuff, which is less repulsive to me because, yeah, you're not going to get lint stuck to it, I guess. Oh.
I guess what I'm kind of getting at is that the Italian version of this is made of prosciutto.
Okay, gotcha. Yeah,
which actually kind of looks like that picture that I posted.
It does, doesn't it? It's all just like kind of dark reddy brown.
Mm.
The prosciutto underwear.
Yeah, vaguely viscous looking.
Yeah, cracking
I
open
don't.
The Posada flask bracelet. Yeah.
I'm not sure I understand like the appeal or I don't know maybe like I sort of understand it as a novelty item. I'm trying to go through in my head how does this play out, right? You've put your finest edible underwear on. Judging from the vintage of this picture, you also have your massive 1970s bush poking out from both sides. And then, like, you say, honey, I've got a little treat for you. Dinner's done. Now it's time for dessert, you say. And you lift your dress and he goes,
prosciutto.
You lift your dress. He freaks out because he thinks there's some kind of Hellraiser situation going on. He thinks maybe you've been flayed from the waist down. But instead he realizes, oh, that's like strawberry fruit roll-up type stuff. It's very tacky to the touch. What I'm picturing, right, is that maybe the edible part is that you can, like bite through one side of them and then pull them off.
Oh, no. I'm nothing is starting until I'm done eating the entire thing. It's still got a couple of bites. Do not touch my penis.
Yeah, I'm picturing the woman saying, not until you're done.
A little bit left there.
Yep,
on the plate that you brought out to use with a knife and fork while eating this.
Happy Father's Day to all of our listeners.
Yeah, you are welcome.
I see you trying to put that balled up piece under the mattress. Come on.
I blame the listener for bringing this up. That's how I recollect this conversation starting.
This is very upsetting. Cannot stress enough that you should not put sugar near your vagina. So, it's just a very
Never
flawed product.
Tell me what to do with my vagina ever again.
Ever.
What are you, the governor of Texas, Greg Abbott?
Wow, nice. Name? That's topical.
Is
he still the governor or is he dead yet?
I don't know.
Greg Abbott alive 2021. I believe he is still going.
Oh, that's sad.
Giving the official Punta Vista thumbs down to the government of the state of Texas.
Yep.
But not to its beautiful natural landscapes. Big naturals down there in Texas.
Mm-hmm. Or any of our listeners who live in Texas. Hey, that's not your fault. You know?
You didn't do that, unless you're Greg Abbott. And then we're going to refund your Patreon money because I don't know if we want you as a paid subscriber. Yeah. Thank you, though. But
unless you heard that Greg Abbott had been elected governor of Texas and then said, honey, get the kids in the car. Straight to Texas. Lucy, what wonderful gift have you bought me for Father's Day? You are next in line after Ben, after all.
Well, I went to the Father's Day stall at my school, so what I've brought you is some hideous plastic products and some of those novelty socks with something a little colourful on them. A little excitement for Dad.
A pair of socks that say, I love farting and I am Dad. The perfect Father's Day gift.
Dads do like farting. That's so true.
They did get me a t-shirt one year that said the world's greatest farter.
Oh, see? That's really classic funny. Father's Day shit.
Yeah, that's a classic dad roast.
Can't knock that, you know?
One of my favorite shirts that I've ever found that's slightly too small for me and it sort of wears a sort of a midriff top, which is frustrating, but also maybe look. Actually, I really consider wearing it. Is this like Italian tourist shirt from the fucking Leaning Tower of Pisa, but it's got a really bad drawing of Bart Simpson, and in both Italian and English it says, I farted and pushed the tower over. It's leaning
so
because
good.
Of Bart Simpson's farts.
That's really funny.
Yeah, that's a great find. Farts. I gave it to George and then they refused to wear it for some reason. I don't know why that is.
You could always, if it is too short, and all of us tall guys out there and tall gals right now shaking our fists and cursing the manufacturers of box-shaped t-shirts.
Specifically looking at you, Dave Gildon, inventor of the Gildon t-shirt.
Yeah, fuck that guy. My goodness.
The boxiest shirts in the fucking world.
He sat down at his drawing board and he said, I need to make a new kind of shirt. And the most important thing is that it is exactly as wide as it is tall.
He sat down, he used his life-size standee of Gimli the Dwarf as a model and then designed the t-shirt.
The perfect shirt.
How wide is a man usually? Two men wide?
Perfect shirt for the man with half a torso. You know?
That's right. And then for the ladies, just wear the small man's one. What's the problem? Just have sleeves that go halfway down your arm. It's a look.
Unisex means men's is my
it
understanding.
Does. It does. Sure does.
Unisex means we'll let you buy it too.
They should just have honkers and no honkers as the two, like, shirt shapes.
Mm. Yeah, they should.
Sorry, tapered, honkers tapered, honkers non-tapered.
Turning to the turning to the store assistant. Hey, is this a honkerless shirt?
Honkers, no honkers.
What kind of honkers can I pack into this bad boy? Now,
yep.
I'll tell you this.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The father's work, it's never done.
Okay.
You know, even on A, it's a Sunday, and B, it's Father's Day. It should be my day of rest. Mm. And instead, I'm going to have to fumble around in the recesses of my mind for a segue from what we've just been saying to this next segment.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, some shirts you want to get some honkers into. I was looking out my window this morning, and I saw some different kinds of honkers flying overhead. That's right, I'm talking about the many Pacific black ducks that I have been seeing in the water down behind my house.
Honking like a duck, that famous expression.
Yep. Actually, yeah, there is some other kind of very funny water bird down there that makes a very funny honking sound.
Dawn Fraser?
But I cannot identify the bird at this point. However, one of the other jobs that we have on this podcast is identifying other kinds of birds, other kinds of honkers. And we do that, of course, on Nature Corner. Country roads, take me home to the place I belong. Winter Hissler, Nature Corner.
World record 7-minute segue there. Incredible.
That's right. While I was talking, I realized that I did not have the thing to play the cue open. And I had to search for that and open it and find the right theme while I was talking. That's multitasking.
That's incredible. People say podcasting is just having a conversation with your friends and no one should be paid for that. But, you know, you really see the work that goes into it when you hear about stuff like this.
Oh, that's right. It's Nature Corner. It's yet another story about Americans who simply shouldn't have that animal.
Mm.
Leave those guys alone, you know?
Hey, American, leave that bird alone. This is a story from the Huron Daily Tribune. Emu on the loose spurs unusual police chase in Isabella County. On Tuesday, when the Shepherd Police Department received a call from Isabella County Central Dispatch for a loose emu in the village, they thought it was a practical joke. But when officers arrived to the area of the escaped feathered animal, a big bird was, in fact, standing there. Responders to the scene were shocked to see this second largest bird in the world frolicking through neighbourhoods. Now, they're probably talking about emus as a species there, not specifically this bird. Mm. But that would be cool.
To see it frolicking?
Well, no, to see the second largest, like the second largest bird.
Right.
Oh, there he is. There's Big Steve,
yep.
World's second largest bird. And we'll be first when Big Alf dies.
You know when you see those news stories that are like, hey, world's biggest cow, and they have that cow, but it's standing next to, like, normal cows?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or even smaller cows if you want to add a little bit of spice to it.
Going around the farm and rounding up your smallest cows just to put next to Big Stevie, you know?
So I'm just fact-checking this claim about the largest bird species. So the largest extant bird species is the common ostrich. Second is the Somali ostrich. The third is the southern cassowary. The fourth is the northern cassowary. And the fifth is the emu.
I was going to say, aren't cassowaries bigger than emus? This is some bullshit.
Oh, sorry. This is by weight, not by height, which might be what they're going off.
Okay, they're definitely a taller bird.
Mass.
Hang on. I think you can order tables here on the... Don't give me length. I want height, god damn it. No, emu's still fifth. That's
interesting.
Bullshit.
But they are splitting cassowaries and ostriches into two types, though.
That is true.
That's
true.
Although the third tallest by average total length is the Dalmatian pelican. Pick one.
Excuse me? What is a Dalmatian pelican?
I mean, I know we're all picturing exactly the same thing right now.
It's got no spots. It is a very handsome bird, though. Goodness gracious.
How big is this guy?
Why are you calling it Dalmatian, though?
He's probably Dalmatian from the Dalmatian coast, perhaps?
Yeah, I was about to say. That was me just realizing at that exact moment that Dalmatian just doesn't mean thing with spots.
And we all know where the Dalmatian coast is.
Mm-hmm.
It's where Dalmates come from.
That's right.
We decided to follow it on its journey through the village of Shepherd, the police department stated in a Facebook post. Ultimately, it was captured by its owners on the northeast end of town. They stated that it left from their farm in Vesterberg yesterday. No one was hurt in the chase. Born to run, emus have tiny, useless wings, but their legs are long and powerful.
Just like Bruce Springsteen.
Exactly like the boss. They can travel long distances at a fast trot and can sprint at 30 miles an hour and can jump up to 7 feet. With good eyesight and amazing agility, really hamming this up, emus can escape most any trouble, according to the San Diego Zoo. The statement they got on record from the San Diego Zoo, yeah, they can escape most any trouble.
Yeah, I'm sure that's what they said. An emu wrote this. An emu wrote this statement, for sure.
An emu that has a lot of self-loathing regarding its tiny, useless wings.
But that's also that very...
Tell me they're useless. Tell me they're tiny.
My wings are so small.
You're the most pathetic bird I've ever seen.
This is an awful podcast.
Emu immediately getting its credit card out. That's like a very American... expression, though, isn't it? Most any trouble.
I love that, actually. That's a wonderful sentence. Yep. Emu can escape most any trouble.
I reckon one of them emus can escape most any trouble. Yeah, exactly.
This is, of course, Australian has ever how people that. In Michigan talk.
Yep, down here in Michigan.
For police, calls like a loose bird help balance the tough ones, said Police Chief Luke Sawyer of the Shepherd Police Department.
Yeah, it's great to get a chance to shoot something when no one gets mad at you.
We just came off 3 calls resulting in death in 7 days. Jesus so chasing Christ. A bird was a needed laugh, Sawyer said.
3 calls resulting in death. That's an interesting phrase.
It's very passive, isn't it?
Yeah, who killed someone?
The emu, named Healy Moo...
Pardon?
That's H-E-L... sorry, H-E-A-L-Y hyphen M-U. Healy Moo.
All right.
Okay. Was moved to a new home in Reed City on Wednesday, September 1st, where she, quote, hopes to find her Prince Charming, according to the police.
Excuse me?
Was it moved Excuse there me? As a punishment?
Did the... Was the emu trying to get some dick? Is that what we're saying?
Was like, she on heat? Was she running around on heat? Emu heat? Was she going to find another emu?
This is very strange.
This is bizarre.
I just think if there's one thing that we've learned from these emu stories, it is quite
these
simply... These many emu stories, I think... Well, actually, this genre of story in general. I think if there's one thing we've learned, it's that apparently if the animal gets out, you don't have that animal anymore. That animal's gone.
Yeah, and also you can't just kill it, which is kind of cool. Where they're like, we were delivering 1,000 cows to a slaughterhouse and then one escaped. But we couldn't possibly hurt that one that escaped. So then they sent it off to a nature refuge.
I'm just hoping that this results in like enough escaped emus to form a population in the wild. And then as America continues to be ravaged by climate change... and becomes drier and more arid, that they have a booming emu population, which I guess eventually takes over?
Yeah, we'll see how they fare in the Great Emu War.
That's right. Everybody likes to laugh at us about it.
Yeah, real funny.
It's very funny
fucking
when Australia loses an emu war, but when America's drones aren't enough to take care of them, we'll see who's fucking laughing then.
And plus, you know, it's a good laugh for everybody when like a drone is chasing an emu and it does that really goofy high jump to... change directions and run away. It's very comedic. It's very comedic.
They're a very silly bird, aren't they?
Very much.
Not silly when you're staring at one, though. with a beak that could like go through your eyeball and into your brain.
It is like they are absolutely ridiculous birds, not to be taken seriously, right up to the point that you are, say, within 15 feet of one and there is no barrier between you. Yeah. And then it's they're just terrifying. They've got their big, big scary eyes, big sharp beaks, legs for kicking.
And a little brain of a bastard.
The little bastard's brain of the emu. I'm sorry, I'm just coming back to that quote. We just killed 3 people in 7 days, so we really needed a laugh.
We really needed a bird that we struggled to catch.
Oh, boy.
So just
sucked. For the last week, I couldn't play the Benny Hill theme over any of the jobs I was doing. This week, though.
Here's a little interesting factoid for you. Interesting-ish. I put a question mark next to interesting in the notes because that's of questionable interest. So Shepherd, the village where this emu escaped, or at least was sighted, is about a 2-hour drive from an institution called Eastern Michigan University. That's EMU. Mm-hmm. EMU.
Wow. Wow.
How's that?
Wow.
Huh?
Crazy.
As they say down in Michigan, God don't make mistakes.
That is
classic Michigan accent.
Deep Michigan.
Again.
Down in the bayous of Michigan, you know?
The great bayous.
Look, you might say to yourself, one big bird, that's probably all that happened in nature this week. You'd be wrong. You'd be so fucking wrong. I'd sit you down and I'd say, really? Really?
That's what you thought. You thought one escaped emu was all the nature news?
You thought all the other animals stood stock still for a whole week. That's what you thought. Unbelievable, I'd say. You'd start
to
cry.
You know how crazy you sound right now?
You'd start to cry. I'd apologize. After half an hour of tense silence, I'd ask if you still want to go out to dinner or if the night's just ruined, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But it turns out you're a fucking fool and there was more nature news. Some of it a little foreboding. And for that reason, we'll just squeeze right into the other segment. Omen's importance.
You shall see hail fall from a clear sky and burn as fire upon the ground. You shall see darkness cover Egypt when the sun climbs high to noon. And you shall know that God is God and bow down to his will.
So this is a press release from Princeton University. Don't know if you guys have heard of it.
It's no Yale.
Sure.
Andrew's a big Yale guy. Most people don't know this.
Class of 77, baby. Got his ring and everything. Sing some weird songs at the reunions. Love that shit.
I was one of the most decorated male cheerleaders they've ever had.
Scientists discover a mechanism for memory transfer between individuals in C. elegans. I was really hoping Theo was going to be here for this one because it's about little worms. But I'm not saying he's a little worm. He just likes little worms. I don't want to be clear about that, but he's not. And that's okay. When an organism encounters a threat in its environment, it is to the species' advantage to warn others of the peril. The microscopic roundworm C. elegans regularly encounters dangers in its environment, such as the pathogenic bacterium P. oreganosa, which seems like an appealing food source, but can sicken worms if eaten, upsets their little tummies.
I see why they've written C. elegans, because the full name of the roundworm is hard to say.
Try, though.
I can't even tell if it's a hard C at the start of the word. Canor habditus elegans, or Cenor habditus elegans.
And in saying that, we've now probably angered a bunch of biology students.
That's right.
Fantastic.
That's what you get for listening to a podcast for idiots. Stay in school.
You dumbass, you could be listening to Radiolab and you chose this. C. elegans isn't equipped to shout out warnings as a human would. It'd be funny if they were. A couple of millimeter long worms just being like, hey!
Screaming.
Hey, mate!
You hear that sound coming from your stomach? Oh, no.
From inside you. Oh, no.
But new work from researchers, new work by researchers from Princeton Research. Jesus. But new work by researchers.
How's it going,
from,
buddy? Are you okay?
No, this is this sentence. But new work by researchers from Princeton researcher Colleen Murphy's laboratory shows that worms who encounter P. oreganosa can help others avoid the danger and identifies a crucial part of the mechanism by which this is done. In earlier work, Murphy's lab discovered that mother worms who are sickened by P. oreganosa learn to avoid the bacterium and that they can impress this avoidance behavior upon their offspring for the next four generations. Mother worms who've eaten P. oreganosa absorb a bacterial small RNA called P11 through their intestines, which touches off a signal in the worm's germline reproductive cells that is then transmitted to a neuron that controls behavior. Afterwards, the new behavior is conveyed to future progeny via changes made to germline cells. In their new paper, first co-authors Rebecca Moore, Rachel Koletsky, and Chen Lesnick and colleagues show that avoidance behavior can also be conveyed from trained worms to other naive adult worms.
Little baby worms.
You can teach them tricks, and then the worms that know tricks can be like, oh, you didn't know about this? Watch this shit. I'm not eating the stuff that makes me sick. quote, we found that one worm can learn to avoid this pathogenic bacterium, and if we grind up that worm, or even just use the media that the worms are swimming in and give that media or the crushed worm lysate to naive worms, those worms now learn to avoid the pathogen as well, explains Murphy. So basically, a worm that has learned to avoid eating this shit, if you give another worm that worm's bathwater or you give another worm pieces of that worm, it will learn that behavior from them.
I don't like that. I don't like
that
at all.
Just drink the bathwater. Learn some lessons. This finding suggests that worms secrete some signal that, when picked up by other worms, can modify their behavior. Interestingly, the progeny of worms, quote, educated by receipt of this signal, also avoid pathogenic P. oreganosa for the following four generations. So, one of the worms that drank the bathwater from the smart worms will get the smarts, and then also its great-grandchildren will still have the smarts from the bathwater. It's fucking wild to me.
That's crazy. Imagine if we got that from, like, eating beef. That'd be sick.
We got some, like, cow lessons?
Some cow lessons. Like, you know what? That grass is looking real good right now.
Or that grass looks like it's been pissed on. I'm not eating that grass. Although other studies have shown that such what is happening to me today? I'm very tired. Although other studies have shown that animals such as the sea slug Aplysia are capable of transferring memories between individuals, the work by Moore, Koletsky, Lesnick, and colleagues is the first to suggest a mechanism by which such transfer can occur in nature. However, this study also raises a number of urgent questions, I'm sure. For example, as Mello points out, it's now well established that worms use RNA signals to pass information to offspring, but is currently unclear what SIR1 contributes to this pathway. Why would the animal need the virus to pass signals to offspring? Mello asks. What exactly is being transferred? To demonstrate an evolved relationship between the worms and the SIR1 retroelement, says Mello, it will be important to fill in these gaps in understanding. This is precisely what Murphy's group is now working to do. So you can eat worms and gain their memories. Well, worms can eat worms and gain their memories. That's pretty cool.
Has anyone tried to eat one of these worms? Like, that would be my first idea. Would be like, what if I ate one of these worms then?
And then see if you suddenly stop eating all that P. oreganosa bacterium that you were eating before?
Yeah. I'd be like, damn, that P. oreganosa looks like shit now.
It used to be basically food porn to me, looking at an electron microscope photograph of P. oreganosa. Now, yuck.
So we've got C. elegans, and that made me think of earlier in the week, because I had been taking a bunch of photos of the crimson rosellas that hang out in my backyard.
Oh, some beautiful photos, by the way. Gorgeous.
Nice peaks.
Very nice birds. And we've got we made a little bird feeder and hung it up off the deck, and they're all just hanging out there, and it's very nice. The weather's finally nice enough to, like, sit out on the back deck again, and
Ella
were out there. It was very nice. We were out there, like, having a beer in the afternoon, like on Friday or something like that, when I finished work. Went out there and sat down in the chairs on the deck, and some little rosellas came up and landed, like, 3 feet from ahead, eating their seeds, and it was very pleasant. But in doing some reading about them, their Latin name is Platys ursus elegans.
Oh.
And I was like, oh, what is elegans in the Latin naming of things? And it is just Latin for elegant.
Yep.
And there's nothing more elegant to me than the beautiful roundworm.
Yeah. Have you seen those things move?
That's so pure graceful. Elegance.
What do the other worms look like that the scientist who found this one went, oh, finally.
That is an elegant worm.
Have you ever seen a picture of sea dog shit before? It looks fucking awful.
That's true. But yeah, I don't know what the other worms look like by comparison, that this one made them go,
that's finally. That's a hot worm.
A thing of beauty to behold.
This is the Cate Blanchett of worms.
Is that who you think of when we talk elegance?
Yeah.
I'm thinking of an ethereal beauty, yeah.
I had like a couple of seconds there, and the first thing that came to mind, mostly because she played Galadriel, I think.
Yeah, I'm just thinking about Galadriel.
Galadriel is elegant.
Now, if we take that to its logical conclusion, when Ben thinks of elegance, he thinks of elves.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. Am I wrong, bro?
Tell me I'm wrong. Tell me elves aren't elegant, bro.
Tell it to my face.
Oh, just another of the regular arguments that we have in bars here in Michigan.
Can I do this segue? Because I want to do a really bad one.
You say to my face that them elves aren't elegant. Of course, Ben. Of course.
So as we all know, of the living elf lords left in Middle Earth in the Third Age, we had Elrond, who was given dominion over Rivendell. Galadriel, dominion over Lothlorien. And of course, Cerdan, who was given dominion over the Grey Havens, from which ships set out to the west. That's right, it's time for the shipping report.
I'm itching for another edition of the shipping report.
It might have been Celebrimbor, maybe, actually. I'm not...
I thought that was going to go in the direction of you listing some fictitious characters and then describing who you shipped.
Oh, no, that's not really my wheelhouse. I believe only characters the author intended to have sex should have sex. That's my belief.
Hmm. Wow, that's respectful.
It's time for the shipping report. No jokes. Serious faces on.
Jokeless.
The bulk carrier Consolidator suffered engine failure when approaching port at Bosphorus and was subsequently taken under tow to Ahikapi Anchorage. Fuck, how did I fuck up anchorage of those two words?
Yeah, wow.
Yeah, I'm having a day. Don't do that. Keep your engine going. That's my advice. The ferry San Juan ran aground south of Ibiza, breaching her hull and subsequently experiencing water ingress.
This isn't a joke.
Yes. Okay.
It's simply an observation.
Mm-hmm.
That name to me sounds like something an Italian Rasta would say.
Yep. It's a sort of... Yeah.
Caribbean San
Juan. San Pellegrino. Yeah. Drinking my San Bombaclot. the general cargo ship Seabird, carrying 7,000 tons of wheat, sank in the Sea of Crete, possibly after a collision with the general cargo ship Haya.
Haya?
Oh, that's Haya. Not bad. Haya.
Or when you see somebody coming down the street. Haya.
Haya. Yeah, you could say this many different ways, but no jokes.
You could.
All 16 crew were rescued after a search and rescue operation in which the general cargo ship Haya also participated, which is nice.
Well, that's helpful. That's nice because he was in the collision. She.
I wasn't going to correct you there. It's fine. The general cargo ship CEG Orbit ran aground on the Isle of Man and was subsequently refloated on the next high tide. Now, I posted a photo of this one to Twitter. It was like really on land, like really, really whole boat completely out of the water, like 20 feet from the sea. And it's a big fucking boat. It is very impressive to me that they managed to just be like, oh, no, tide's back. We're fine. Absolutely wild. The Vietnamese bulk carrier Tan Binh 127 was missing somewhere in the Andaman Sea from July 31st to August 1st, after which a distress signal was picked up and all 18 crew members were rescued from the sinking vessel by the container ship MCC Chittagong. It's good news there.
Good news.
And lastly, the bulk carrier Johnny Cash suffered engine failure while transiting the Suez Canal and was towed back to Anchorage.
That's just that's a nice name for a ship, isn't it?
Yeah, I didn't need, it seems like, how could you get away with
calling
it
anything? Yeah.
Why aren't people more creative with their names if, like, that was on the cards?
I don't think it even needs to be more creative. I would just be perfectly happy with more and more, you know, container ships called, like, the Kenny Loggins.
You know? I would love that.
Yeah.
This is, it's just like a, hey, this is a 225-meter long ship that looks like a, you know, regular-ass container ship. Registered to the Marshall Islands, of course, because, you know, tax reasons. Wild. The Johnny Cash. It's cool as hell. Built in 2007. 14 years ago, someone was like, I'm calling this one the Johnny Cash.
They were right to do so.
So someone watched his appearance on, like, one of those 1970s variety shows and said, one day, I'm going to have my own ship. Call that bad boy the Johnny Cash. Johnny Cash, a man who famously had a lot of relationship trouble due to his impulses, his many drugs. How long was he with June Carter Cash for? How was that?
Were you anticipating that either Lucy or I would have that number available to you off the top of our heads?
Nope.
Or, I'm going to say a long time.
But was he faithful the whole time? One of us clearly needs to read a Johnny Cash autobiography instead of watching the film Walk Hard: The Dewey Cox Story and assuming that most of it is accurate.
What a wonderful movie, though.
It really is a great, great movie. However, you know, sometimes in life we do have relationship trouble and we turn to our beloved friends to help us sort it out. We turn to Dr. Lucy.
If you find that you are having a little relationship trouble, just pick up your telephone and dial it on the double. You call 1-800-317-5155. Now you're paging Dr. Lucy.
Now, normally with the paging Dr. Lucy, we use it to discuss relationships between people.
Mostly.
Mm-hmm. Mostly. At least 70% of the time.
Almost all the time, you know? But hey, there's other kinds of relationships out there in the world, you know? Oh, you thought that humans were the only beings on Earth that had relationships with each other? That's what you really thought?
We have spent a lot of time calling the audience dumb today. I'm sorry to you, the listener. You're probably very smart. And handsome.
Sitting at home, that's like, true. I didn't think that. I did not think that.
You guys are wrong, and I'm going to email you about it.
If you did, though, you just kind of got to cop it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And it's fine, because for all we know, you're listening to this on headphones. You can just say to yourself, or even just mouth the words, I did think that. You know? You can do a little, you can do a growth. You can do some little personal development inside. No one has to know. You don't
have to be
embarrassed.
People can change.
Okay. However, if you are one of the people who, for some absolutely staggering reason, listens to this podcast in the car with their kids, which we have been told happens apparently a lot.
Yeah, I'm very sorry about the start of this episode, if that's the case.
Yep. If that is the case, and, you know, your kids could really see on your face that that is what you thought. You thought that no other animals had relationships and that there were no relationships between humans and different kinds of animals. I think you also have to just cop it sweet.
I have to turn to your kids and say, Dad was wrong.
Yep.
All right. I know you look up to me and I know I've always tried to do my best, but I was wrong. Brayden, Dad was wrong. Dads can be wrong. Okay.
It's Father's Day, so legally your wife can't leave you today.
That's right.
So, you know, just take that one on the chin. Show your kids that you can accept something, you can learn something, and you can move and grow on, you know. So for anybody who did actually think that, we're looking right at you, shaking our heads. And we have some news for you about relationships. This is from Metro. Woman banned from zoo for unhealthy relationship with chimp shunned by troop. I'm taking from this headline that it was the chimp who was shunned by their chimp troop. But
there's a little bit of syntactic ambiguity there, certainly. It's not that the woman was suddenly shunned by a troop of chimpanzees. It was the chimp that was shunned. We got a shunned chimp situation.
So, a woman who, scare quotes, loves a chimpanzee.
I mean, you don't have to put it in scare quotes. Maybe, she loves that chimpanzee. It's allowed.
Yeah. I mean,
maybe this is a Billie Holiday, you don't know what love is type scenario.
Mm.
Who knows?
A woman who loves a chimpanzee has been banned from visiting him at a Belgian zoo. There we go.
All right.
Okay.
Mm.
The whole rest of the... We have the context we needed in the headline now.
Oh, it's Europe. Oh, yeah. Oh, okay. So it was probably one of their famous nude zoos.
Yeah. Let me punch that headline up for you. Typical Belgian freak harasses nature's kind beast. The pair blow kisses at each other and wave through a glass window during A.D. Timmerman's weekly trips to Cheetah's enclosure. Do you think the monkey is blowing you kisses, or is the monkey maybe imitating the thing that you show up and do every single week?
Yeah, I don't know if we can ascribe symbolic reasoning to chimpanzees. Because once they understand the gesture of blowing a kiss, you're sort of suggesting that they might be able to ascribe other value to symbols, like, say, inventing currency or alphabets or things of that nature.
They might. They might.
Who knows what motivations lie in the dark heart of the chimp? You know?
No one. Not even chimp researchers. Not even. Diane, what's her name?
Yep.
What is her name? The Gorillas in the Mist lady?
Diane Fossey? Is that her?
It's not even Diane.
I'm just going to Google.
You're talking about
chimp
Jane
lady.
Goodall?
Chimp lady.
Oh, Jane, I thought Jane Goodall was the...
The ape lady.
The gorilla lady.
Yeah, she was the...
Jane Goodall is considered to be the world's foremost expert on chimpanzees.
There you go.
Who the fuck was I thinking of?
Diane Chimps Fossey lady. Is the gorilla lady.
Oh, I always get my chimp lady and my gorilla lady mixed up.
Jane Goodall has probably blown hundreds of thousands of kisses to chimps.
Yeah, and she's allowed to do it. That's fine when she does it. That's just interesting.
The virgin chimp lady versus the Chad gorilla lady.
Chad gorilla lady.
Oh, your primates are only that small? Okay.
But after visiting the elderly male chimp for years, she has been told he needs to concentrate on socializing with his own kind at Antwerp Zoo. Imagine having an intervention about your chimp dates.
You need to stop having dates with this elderly male chimp.
Just having a 21-year-old... zoo employee just come up to you being like, look, lady, I know you've got an annual pass, but you really got to stop flirting with a 43-year-old chimp.
You know something's going on when the zoo employees say, lady, you are at the zoo way too much.
Yeah.
Give it a break.
We don't want your money anymore.
I'm here this much because I work here. They pay me to come here, and I'm sick of looking at you. Madam, we had to put up a special sign that says, please do not put them on the glass. quote, the problem is I'm having an affair, I'd say, with a chimpanzee, lady explained in a translated interview in which she became visibly upset.
That is the problem.
That's probably the problem. It's the crux of it.
You really cut to the hard issue there.
Yeah.
I think, you know, if somebody says to you, do you think the chimp is your boyfriend? And you go, no. And then they say, well, you can't come to the zoo anymore. And you immediately start crying. I think you're kind of showing your hand a little bit there.
Maybe. We haven't had that conversation. We haven't talked about being exclusive just yet.
It doesn't need labels, you know, it just is. And we're just comfortable doing that.
Yeah, I don't need a label. I don't need a label.
We've signed to each other that we don't need to put labels on it right now. I know he's not going anywhere, you know. Quote, I love that animal and he loves me. I haven't got anything else. Why do they want to take that away?
I mean, I think they want to take it away because you're messing up the chimp. I think seems to be the reason.
Yeah, you're fucking that chimp right up. He's
no
good.
You're fucking up a chimp.
If you, like, it's a weird dynamic when normally there's kind of a, like a Harry and the Henderson situation of like, if you love him, you got to set him free.
Mm.
You know, except in this case, it's like, if you love him, you have to leave him alone in chimp prison.
You're the one that they have to throw rocks at to make go away.
Get out of here.
Go back to outside the zoo where you belong.
Cheetah's like, you know, throwing his arms up and getting agitated and banging on the glass, turns away, wipes a single tear from his eye.
I don't love you, he signs insincerely.
On the little machine. Go on. Get out of here. Get out of here. Oh, this is like, it's weird to have the monkey version of like the ladies who write Charles Manson letters in prison, you know?
Yeah. That seems mean to Cheetah.
Well, like, yes, but also just one of those ones where people are like, what's the deal here? What's your end game? They're never letting him out of prison. You probably can't change Charles Manson, madam. So the next line in this, I feel like the storied publication Metro is not really helping here when they say the unlikely romance has made headlines in Belgium because the zoo is trying to put an end to their friendship, which has lasted for 4 years. I feel like calling it a romance is not really helping.
Well, no, they're certainly indicating that it's mutual. You know, like, you see stories like this, because originally I saw it from one of the horrible, like, British tabloids, and then I tried to find a slightly better website to get it from. But, like, they're all sort of hamming it up for, you know, you make it more salacious so it gets more traffic or whatever. And you could almost look at this and say, okay, she might be using love platonically, and she's just saying that she's struck up a really nice friendship with this thing. But it's her that says the affair part. Yeah. She used the word affair.
Mm. She wants to fuck the chimp.
I am having an affair with a chimp.
Yeah. Very troubling. Imagine if you take away the romantic element of this, how cool it would be to have such a special relationship with a zoo animal that the zoo people knew you as, like, oh, you're that guy that one Tapir loves so much. Like, yeah.
That'd be
sick.
He's
my friend. I'm his friend. Yeah, we know each other.
The zoo says that Cheetah is being shunned by the other chimps and believes he would be happier if he spent more time socializing with them and not humans. Well, maybe put him somewhere that there's no humans, you know?
Yep.
Like a jungle or something.
Like the jungle.
Yeah. Curator Sarah LaFau explained, they actually leave him to the side. They are social animals. They seek social contact and play with each other. If they are continuously busy with visitors, then for the duration when those visitors are gone, he has nothing to do. He just sits there alone. And for a social animal, that is absolutely not okay for his well-being. Well, we can all identify with that these days, can't we?
Yeah, so true.
Lockdowns and so on.
Yeah, you're in lockdown,
I need other monkeys to play with. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, and your wife is the Belgian lady that keeps visiting you at the zoo in this example?
No, I think it's you guys talking to me over the internet.
Oh, we are the Belgian lady. Yeah.
And you log off and your wife shuns you.
Right now,
come back. You were podcasting again. Ugh.
Right now, in this Google Meet, you are tapping on the virtual glass of my enclosure. I will put it to you.
Mm-hmm.
Cheetah is said to have grown up as a domestic pet, but was given to the zoo when his owners could not manage him any longer, and he became too big.
Stop doing that.
Stop
having chimps as pets.
Who could have seen this chimp going monkey style? Who could have seen this baby chimp at some point becoming an adult chimp?
Yeah. Well, you never know how things are going to go.
None of us can see the future. We don't have a crystal ball.
No.
he has also been involved in fights at the zoo and has not adapted well to being with other chimps. Send him home with 80, you know?
Yeah. Let him have it. Just let him have this thing.
Let him hang out with her for a while, eat some French fries with mayonnaise on him. He tears her face off. Send him back to the zoo.
Yeah. Everyone gets what they wanted.
Circle
of life. Natural order.
It's like how, you know, in like weird vampire romance novels, there's always like a vampire and then someone who's like, no, please, I want you to take my blood. Do it. Yeah. It's her being like, please, rip my face off. I want you to do it.
Tell you what, we watched Bram Stoker's Dracula recently. The first time Eleanor had seen it.
Some real accents in that movie.
Oh, and then you've got Tom Waits just living life as Renfield.
My life for you. Tear my face off. You know?
Please. Let's remake that movie. Gary Oldman in a chimp suit.
Yeah. And you can do exactly what he did in that movie where... What's the one where he's playing someone with dwarfism and he's doing the knees in shoes thing for the whole movie?
That sounds great.
It's real. No idea. It's a real movie. It's very, 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 very bad.
He's on his knees and the shoes are on his knees and he's like, look at me, I'm small. He does it for a whole movie.
It's a good gag.
One of our generation's finest actors.
That's right.
Tiptoes from, of course, this was way back in the past, so it makes sense. 2003.
Oh.
Jesus, fuck.
That far-flung past of 2003, you know? Anything could have happened back then. Heartbroken 80 points out, the cheetah is unlikely to live much longer and believes the animal will be upset if her visits stop. She said, cheetah is 38. Same. And has been used to people from an early age, she said. I got more in common with this chimp than I thought.
Yeah.
On average, chimpanzees live to about 40, so his behavior isn't going to change now, is it? She says. Look, she's not wrong.
He's only got 2 good years left in him. Let him be happy. Yep.
Like, okay, so the math she's doing here is that he gets joy from seeing her, even if it has detrimental effects to his relationship with the other chimps and therefore his time when she's not there. How much time would she have to spend at the zoo for it to be worthwhile? Like, more than not, right? If she's in there like all day, every day, 7 days a week, maybe. But she can't be, because it'd be so weird to have a lady for just like 9 hours a day. Every day the zoo is open, standing on the other side of the glass, being like, you doing good? I love you.
She's going to get bored of this, you know? If they did let her do this 9 hours a day, she's going to realize that it's not the life she pictured. Standing there blowing kisses all day long to cheetah.
Once the honeymoon period is over.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. You're going to get familiar with each other. You're going to get bored of each other. You're going to... stop having sex, you know?
Stop having...
They haven't even started having sex.
Whatever the equivalent of phone sex is when you can only sort of roughly use hand signals to indicate that some stuff is happening. Oh, what? You're fingering me now?
Cool.
No, or you're prodding me. I can't...
I don't really... Like, what's her end game? Because she doesn't die at 40. Like, she just wants to hang out and bother the chimp until he dies, and then she's going to go on with her life?
Oh, I think she's going to try and style it as, you know, at the end of The Witches, the kid stays as a mouse, but he's really happy because it means that he's going to die at the same time as his grandma, who's his only family in the world, because his heart beats fast now, and that means you die quicker.
Yeah, except it turns out in the movie, they just go, ah, oh, magic, he's fine.
Oh, okay, well, at the end of the book, he stays a mouse. And she's going to do the same thing. She's getting experimental heart surgery so that she dies at the same time as Cheetah.
Getting a monkey heart put in.
Yeah.
Yeah, we watched The Witches with our kids, who kept insisting that they would be fine to watch it, even though, like most people of our generation, we remember it as being distinctly terrifying, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We watched it with them and they were both fine. They're both like absolutely... freaked out like a pair of little chimps, hooting and hollering during the all the witches taking off their wigs and all that sort of stuff seen.
Mm.
But they were fine. There were no bad dreams or anything like that. And I will say, I do wonder, right, because the witches are meant to be very ugly, and they all at some point take off their wigs and they're all sitting there in bald caps in the hall. And I would say about 50% of the witches are guys. Like, the witch extras are just like, are just ordinary looking dudes with a bald cap on, and that's how you get an ugly witch, you know?
That seems mean to men.
That's mean, yeah.
But I do wonder if perhaps this was like one of the catalysts for a generation of British people to turn into like massive transphobes, maybe.
I think it's just because there's something bad in the water there. Some convergence of awful ley lines that makes them spiritually sick as a people.
That sounds right.
Mm.
Sounds about correct to me. The paper reported that Antwerp Zoo stated, quote, "An animal that is too focused on people is less respected by its peers."
Filthy little human lover.
You've been hanging out with that Belgian lady again? Ugh.
You know she's from Belgium, right, dude? Like Belgium? Ugh.
You've seen the food they eat on Instagram, right? It's fucked up.
He says, getting out like, their little chimp phone, like, look at this, look at this.
eating some worms off a log and going, I've seen what they eat. Oh,
it's fucking disgusting.
Yuck.
We want Cheetah to be a chimpanzee as much as possible. That's fair.
Yeah.
Outside of visiting hours at the zoo, he has to manage 15 hours a day in his group. We want to give him the chance to be as happy as possible. Lady, do you want him to be happy or not? You know?
Yeah. Don't just fucking think about yourself here. Think about the chimpanzee that you have ostensibly a romantic relationship with. Think about how he's doing. Think about how his happiness, you know?
Got to set him free, you know?
Set him free. And that goes for the zoo as well. Just leave his enclosure open. Let him out.
Lady, you know, think about it. Don't you want the best thing for this chimp? And also, don't answer that. You're banned from the zoo.
Yeah. We've revoked your annual pass, which you were honestly getting too much value out of for the relatively low price.
As the zookeeper is having this conversation with you, the two security guards are sneaking up with the big net to throw over you and drag you out of the zoo. Oh, boy. So I think we've got time for one more bit of nature before we get out of here this week. Lucy, you saw this article and I believe you started cackling like a chimpanzee yourself who had just scratched its bottom, sniffed its finger, and then fallen backwards off a log. That was the reaction that you had.
We'll have to put the picture from this as the image for the episode because I was having a day with this one. Kensington duck mural vandalism angers some locals and quacks others up. That's not the most fun headline for it, but we'll get to it. As Melburnians trudge through lockdown after lockdown, residents of the inner city suburb of Kensington count themselves lucky to have something others don't. A duck's mural.
I don't know much about what people do in places outside of Brisbane, and frankly, I'm not interested, but that's like not... If there was a mural of some ducks near me here in beautiful Auchenflower, Queensland, I don't think it would suddenly enrich my life in a way that would be like one of the things I list off. What do you like about
living
there?
Oh, you're complaining about lockdown? What about the duck mural that you have?
There's a duck mural.
I'm imagining like real estate listings... you know, it's near a good school. It's only a 5-minute drive to the duck mural.
Yeah. I mean, it is a nice duck mural.
Oh, sure.
Kensington local Heather Shearer said it lifted her and her neighbour's spirits when they went outside for their 1-hour walk each day. We all love the ducks. Everyone talks about the ducks and kids have photos with the ducks, she said. They mean so much right now. They become extra important because you get so involved in your 5-kilometre bubble.
I just don't know. Like, I get it. Lockdown fucking sucks and it's hard to find the joys, but I'm not sure if the first thing I'd be doing when they're like, hey, it's not 10 kilometers, it's 5 kilometers now, is I'd be like, oh, fuck, is the duck mural still in that, inside the bubble? Like,
I only get 1 hour of exercise a day, and if I do not see the duck mural with my own eyes, I'm going to fucking freak out.
If I don't see the duck mural, I'm crashing my car into the first non-mural wall that I see.
Well, now you're getting it. The duck mural's important, but things are about to turn pretty sour down in Kensington. However, joy turned to anger when vandals illegally defaced the duck mural with drawn-on breasts late last week for the second time. Oh, it's so good. The ducks were first vandalized in August 2020, resulting in a second, GoFundMe campaign.
The ducks have knockers? All right, now I got to get down and... All right, now I understand. Let's go. We've got to have our lockdown walk. Let's go.
Resulting in a GoFundMe campaign where dozens of locals pitched in $1,700 to repaint the ducks and coat the mural with anti-graffiti paint. We ain't having no tits down here in Kensington.
Our ducks are titless, and that's the way we like it.
Maybe that's the way you live over in Coburg, but not here.
There's women fainting. There's guys jacking off in the street.
After waiting months for the mural to be repainted the first time, Ms. Shearer said she'd been keeping an eye on them ever since. As soon as she noticed the ducks had been vandalized late last week, she posted a photo of the damage to a local Facebook group with mixed feelings. Some people were really mad. Some were saying they couldn't believe it happened and there should be CCTV, she said. But I do feel mixed about it because I couldn't help but laugh at the diversity of the boobs.
And look, she's right.
She is right.
Yeah. You got to look at these ducks with tits. Like, it's quite varied. There's like nipple size variation.
There's some of them are very busty and round. We got some flapjack titties. We got some very small nipples. You know, there's real representation happening there, and I think that's beautiful.
I love the reactions of these people. So, Peter Binks, the commissioner of the artwork, said he was also upset by the unfortunate news, but accepted it could have been worse. The mural captured the hearts and minds of a lot of people, and people are very attached to it, me included, he said. Fingers crossed it'll get back to its beautiful pre-boob glory.
Now, when he says that the mural captured the hearts and minds of a lot of people, let me describe the mural for the listener. It's scene with, what's that, eight ducks, all of them in sort of identical poses walking towards the camera.
It's nice. It's a nice painting of some ducks.
But, like, captured the hearts and minds in what way? Like, yeah. I'd look at that and be like, oh, okay. You wouldn't look at that and be like, my God, I've just discovered a facet of myself that I didn't understand that's been sort of articulated in this beautiful artwork. We must treasure this.
I feel
no
seen.
One put tits on
this. I feel
understood. Very strange.
Unlike those who reacted with anger, the mural's artist, Hisco, thought the new additions were hilarious. When I looked at it, I started laughing, he said. It's classic graffiti. Not hip-hop graffiti, but juvenile graffiti.
It's kind of shit the Romans were doing.
It's drawing tits on stuff.
Have you seen that thing about how there's like a whole ton of dicks on like Hadrian's Wall and stuff from bored Roman soldiers?
Yeah.
Just being like, here's a penis.
Well, like, didn't we talk once on this show about like the ancient Roman or ancient Greek graffiti that's just like, here stood this guy who always got diarrhea when he was banging the hookers, like.
Probably. We've spoken about a lot of things on this podcast.
That's true.
But yeah, I encourage everyone at home to look at the Kensington duck mural with tits twice. Not once, but twice, which...
I actually think the first set is
better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But he's gone for bigger, more uniform honkers on the second one, except for the rightmost duck, which has got pointy sort of Santa hat style ones.
Yeah, they look like elf shoes.
Yeah, elf shoes or Santa hats.
I just respect that it's like, what's the funniest thing that could happen after the tits were on the Kensington duck mural? And that's to... paint another set of tits on the Kensington duck mural.
I think it would have been funnier to do them like comically visibly bigger on all of them. Like a more extreme version of what you did last time. But, you know, he was probably pressed for time. He or she, sorry. Whoever it was that did this this graffiti.
You never know.
We'll you know, doing it under cover of darkness late at night.
I like it. It's not hurting anyone.
And I don't think it's going to, like, ruin a kid's life to, like, walk past a mural and be like, oh, my goodness.
Duck's got enormous baps.
I hope this doesn't influence what I'm into when I grow up.
This doesn't awaken anything in me.
Youborn.com/?search=ducks+with+titties
Oh, boy.
Yep.
Look, if that's your thing, go nuts, you know?
Go nuts. Go
don't, like, I don't think there's anything wrong with having a drawing of a duck with some knockers on it, but don't go out there grabbing any real ducks and trying to put boobs on them, okay?
No. Yeah, we draw the line there.
That's not appropriate. It's not fair to the duck. You don't want to put the duck in a situation where all of the other ducks are ostracizing it because they don't
have... That duck's got huger titties. That duck is a slut. We hate that duck. She's a bitch.
Oh, boy. Well, I think that's probably about it for this week. Unless either of you disagree. And you can't disagree because it's Father's Day.
It's Father's Day.
That's true. On this day, Dad is king.
That's Dad is...
King of the farts.
Fuck! Got him!
Shit!
Dad is gaveling an end to the podcasting session. So I can go and do some dad stuff.
Nice.
You know?
Enjoy.
Did everybody. Thanks for subscribing. We love you. Mwah!
Mwah, mwah.
Mwah.
Bye.
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 What's your dad called? 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 Dad!